Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, well, we're going to get right in here to the message. Man, I was just feeling God's presence so strongly during worship. Were you guys feeling that? It's not a feeling, but it's cool when you do feel it, right? And God was really here, and he still is. And so we're just going to dive into the message here. We're talking on habits this month, and I have two Father's Day jokes, of course. So why don't they have Father's Day sales? Because fathers are priceless. Yes, that's pretty good, right? Thank you. How about, why couldn't the digital clock make dinner for Father's Day? He had no hands. I don't know if anyone said that. All right, we'll now get into the Word of God. Okay. I said something like this, kids, please, I'm so sorry, run. Let my people go. Excuse me, I should never have used the word run. They took me literally. That was scary. All right, walk intentionally to the back. Thank you. Okay. Walk quickly. Youth, if you're a youth here, you can go be with Pastor Brian. He is going to be doing some stuff with a car show with you guys, so you'll have some fun. Okay. I said something like this on Mother's Day, and I find it really powerful. So I want to just recognize all the different men that are here today. Like Adam, you might have children with serious rivalry. Like Joseph, you maybe haven't seen your dad in years. Like Seth, you might have a complicated family life. Like Abraham, you may have waited to become a father or maybe are still waiting. And like Jesus, you might have had a dad that isn't your birth father raise you. And we just want to recognize you in this room, that if you feel alone, you're not alone, because your story is in the Bible. You just have to find the one that has your storyline in it, all right? And I want to encourage you, because just like Mother's Day can bring some trauma to light, or it can be painful if you've lost your dad, or maybe your dad, you never knew your dad, or maybe there was a difficulty there. I want to just say that we see you, we hear you today, and I encourage you to really get into the Word of God later this afternoon if you're struggling, and just read a story that resonates with what you're going through, and find peace, find healing, and find breakthrough. Amen? So last Sunday, we talked about table-flipping habits, and we talked about how do your habits reflect the countercultural act of receiving and giving God's love. And I just want to do a little recap here. Here are some table-flipping habits. And of course, we were talking about when Jesus flipped tables, if anyone's wondering what I'm talking about there. Praying as a married couple. Some say that's more vulnerable than something that kids just walked in, so I won't say the word. Flips division. Praying as an individual flips sin. Reading scripture daily and with Holy Spirit making the word come alive in you flips deception and lies that try to bind us. Forgiving fast and repenting daily turns the tables of sin and bitterness in your life. Refusing to gossip flips division. Tithing and being generous flips greed and lack. Staying in consistent Jesus-centered community flips isolation. So you follow? There are things that are set up, and it's the question of, are we letting the enemy set up shop in our lives, or are we letting Jesus flip the tables and living countercultural? So that was last week's sermon, and our theme verse for the entire month is found in Proverbs 4. Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast and consistent in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. So again, we've got that look, fix, give, consistent, keep. There's a lot of action words in Proverbs 4. And that tells me that God is asking us to be people of action. But they're not just random actions. How many know sometimes you take action because you're like, I got to take action. And then you wish you had not taken action, or somebody wishes you hadn't, right? These are intentional words, okay? And so we're talking about intentionality. So today, the question is, do you like the direction that your habits are taking you? So in about 20 minutes, we're going to go outside, and we're going to hang out with people like Jesus did. and we're going to just be ourselves and be with the community. And if you look at how Jesus evangelized, that's really how he did it a lot of the time. And then miracles would happen, and it was all through intentionality. But Jesus also taught with a lot of parables. So I'm going to do my try of doing a parable with cars. Now, if you know me at all, you know that when I married Pastor Brian, about 5 years before I married Pastor Brian, all Brian talked about was cars. And I would actually dare say if he'd stopped talking about cars, we might have gotten married probably sooner, because we probably would have said yes to dating earlier, because I was like, oh my goodness, is he talk about anything other than cars? And then, of course, thankfully, yes, he does. I just want to put that out there. Yes, Jesus, thank you. But unfortunately, guess what I started talking about? It was cars, of course, right? And so I'm going to try to talk cars, but I still don't know really what I'm talking about. So if I say something wrong, you can correct me after service, okay? So there is a car called the Subaru 360. Does anyone know of this car? Okay. All right. This is what I found. It was made in 1968 and took 37 and a half seconds to go from 0 to 60. Its bumpers could barely protect it from a quote-unquote watermelon. It is named one of the worst vehicles by Consumer Reports, and they called it unacceptably hazardous. Remember the question, are your habits taking you where you want to go? Some of us have unacceptably hazardous habits in our lives, and we don't realize that if a watermelon in life, we hit it, our whole world blows up, and it was just a little watermelon. All right, here's another car, a Ford Pinto. Anyone know the Ford Pinto? All right, somebody knows it. Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong. This is from my husband. He says that he told me the gas tank was in the back. Is that correct? Okay, so he said if you get in a rear-ended, like if you get rear-ended, your entire car could blow up. All right, how many know some of our habits are like the Pinto? We think we've got some habits going, and then we get rear-ended by life, and we just blow up in someone's face, right? And we think, why did I blow up? It's actually not as much a mystery as we think it is, because some of us have our engine in the back, right, with the gas. Some of our habits are like some of the cars that'll be outside. They're long-lasting and legacy-building. That's a good thing, right? Some of our habits are like the cars that are outside a diner. There's no engine inside at all, but it looks pretty on the outside, and it's taking you absolutely nowhere, right? My last car before this car had a exhaust pipe that kept falling off, and I had to zip tie it on. And I still am traumatized by the place by Cornell Botanical Gardens. There's this place in the road that dips, and every time I drive by there, I have like flashbacks, because I was driving, I was just trying to get home, and then my tailpipe fell. And I was trying to zip tie it up, and I was like trying to get somewhere, and then it fell again. And then, you know, it wasn't going to take me anywhere that I needed to go. And the problem is, some of us have habits that are taking us nowhere we want to go, and yet we still are trying to zip tie the exhaust pipe onto our car, right? What's going on? So the interesting thing is that problems with broken cars can be perceived as an immediate benefit. Let me explain. When I got in my car, I zip tied the pipe on, and I thought, I can get to the grocery store. Unfortunately, I could not get from the grocery store back home, right? We don't think this through. And some of our habits were like, well, if I just stuff all of my feelings in my relationship, I'm going to get home and I'll be okay. The problem is, we didn't think 5 years from now we aren't going to be okay, and we're not going to realize why. You follow? So bad habits often have an immediate benefit but a negative result later. How about sitting on the couch for years and not doing anything? How many know that's going to have some negative effects 20 years from now, maybe sooner? How about stonewalling your spouse or your friend? The benefit is you don't have to deal with it. The downside is you're going to have a bitter heart and a broken family real fast, right? How about sneaking out for like a smoke or any other kind of stress-relieving thing that maybe isn't beneficial for your body? You're going to have an immediate benefit, but 20 years from now, you might not have so much of a benefit. You following? So the good habits usually start out more difficult. I hate this example. Morning run, right? Oh, it's cold out and it's horrible, but 9 months later, you've built a lot of muscle or you've gotten in shape. You go to church instead of sleeping in, and months later, you're realizing your life is starting to have more peace, or you're not feeling as isolated and you're having more friendships that reflect Jesus. You forgive your spouse or your friend, and again, maybe months later, you're realizing, huh, there's something connect. Our goal is connection in our relationship, not distance anymore. And, you know, it doesn't happen the first time, but months later, or even sometimes years later, you're starting to notice something's changing. Do you like the direction your choices are taking you? This is such an interesting scripture. It says, one day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. That's in Judges 16:1. So Gaza was their public enemy number one, and Gaza was 25 miles from Samson's hometown. So he presumably walked or took a camel. I don't know which would be better, frankly, because camels are horrific, right? He walked 25 miles, which is actually about 56,000 steps. So he took 56,000 steps in the wrong direction to do the wrong thing. That first step probably felt fine, but by 56,000, he ended up in a place he didn't know. Wait a minute, how did I get here? And sometimes we take 56,000 tiny little choices, habits, that at first seem totally fine, but by the 56,000th, you're ending up in a place you wake up and you don't know how you got there. Are you following me? Are your choices and are your habits taking you where you want to go? So we're going to do a condensed Bible story here. I literally have like 7 minutes before the car show starts, but I've got a really good Bible study, so we're going to do a deep dive. Are you okay? All right. Brian will just look at all the cars with the youth for the first 5 minutes. They will not complain if we go over. All right. So we're going to look at the life of Zacchaeus. And if you grew up in church, you're probably like, oh, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Right. We're not going to sing that song. But Zacchaeus actually has some things to teach us about habits. So, number one, Zacchaeus teaches us to recognize the destructive habit and your identity in Christ. So we're going to look at this. It's in Luke chapter 19, and we're not going to go anywhere other than that, really, for the scripture. So Jesus entered Jericho. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. So Zacchaeus was a native Judean, but he was sold out to the oppressors of the Jews. So Zacchaeus was stealing money. He was deceptive. He was only loving those who loved him back, as it says in Matthew 5:46. So this is not a guy that any Jew liked, all right? And the interesting thing is his name, what do you think Zacchaeus' name means? Like guilty or deceiver or anything like that, right? That would be what I would think. Guess what it means? It means pure, which can mean clean or blameless or honest or straightness. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. I bet that Jesus was thinking of Zacchaeus when he was saying the Beatitudes. Because what did Zacchaeus do? He climbed a tree to see God. He recognized his destructive habit. He was a tax collector, and he knew what that meant. But he also recognized what his name meant. And some of us, in order to change our broken car habits, have just been naming them. Like, well, I know I'm critical. Or I know I've got this addiction. Or I know I'm a workaholic. Well, that's great. Everybody knows that. The question is, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know the name that Jesus has given you? Because when Jesus called out Zacchaeus, he didn't say, hey, tax collector, hey, deceiver, hey, thief. He said, hey, pure one, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. And one of the ways you know if you're hearing Jesus or not is if you're hearing someone calling your identity in Christ. It doesn't mean that you ignore the destructive habits, because Zacchaeus had to do some business in his life, but he knew that the only way to change was to be recognized for who he really was in Christ. And some of us in our relationships, in our parenting, in our situations, are used to calling things by the destruction. You're always this, or you're doing that, or this is just the way it is. When Jesus is saying, will you call it like Zacchaeus? Will you speak what I see into? You following? Jesus isn't calling you by your brokenness. He's not labeling your family by your dysfunction. He is calling you by your new identity in Christ. Number two, he ran to Jesus. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Excuse me, he said, "quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today." You know, Zacchaeus could have said, "You know, I'm short. It's how God made me. I wasn't meant to see God. I wasn't meant to see Jesus," right? He could have just been like, "This is just who I am." That sounds really stupid, right? But some of us say, "Well, this is how my mom treated my dad, so this is just how it is. I'm not meant to be like Jesus." Or, "I have an addictive personality. I'm just designed to be addicted, so this is just who I am." And we justify our destructive habits because we say, "This is just the way I was made," when we don't see that Jesus is calling us by another name and he sees us in a different way. Amen? Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people were displeased. Changing your habits requires intentionality and a decision that may seem awkward or out of place from what's around you. It requires saying, "This dysfunction, this sin, or whatever it is, does not define me. Jesus does." Zacchaeus knew only Jesus could save him and deliver him when he welcomed him into your home. Do you know that, or are you still trying to save yourself? Zacchaeus knew that his current choices and his current habits weren't taking him where he wanted to go. Do you? Because the fact is, if Zacchaeus didn't know that, he wasn't going to climb a tree. And some of us are saying, "Well, it's just not meant to be," or "This is just who I am." And Jesus is saying, "Well, you might have to climb a tree. If you lift your hands in worship, it's not that you're just being a weird charismatic or whatever, or like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stand out of place or whatever. It's, I'm saying, Jesus, I got to climb a tree today because my destructive habits caught up to me today and I need to climb a tree. I need to see you, Jesus." You get it? I need to see you. Worship creates a space for us to climb a tree to see Jesus. I want to see some tree climbing in this place. A very long time ago, I fell out of a tree. That was the last time I climbed one. So just don't fall out of the tree when you're trying to see Jesus. That doesn't preach, but I just had to put that out there. All right, last one. Number three, your meanwhile matters. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. How many know who is a notorious sinner here? They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth back to the poor, and if I cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." When God changes a bad habit in your life, because guess what? You're not going to be able to change it. If you really need to change something, you can't do it. We need a savior. We need to climb a tree. We need Jesus. We need to run to Jesus, right? But when Jesus changes a habit in your life, and it'll require some participation on your part, you might make some waves at work. You might make some waves at home. You might make some waves in your comfort. And it might feel awkward, but you have to know your meanwhile in the waves. It says, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. Where do you go when you are trying to change? Do you surround yourself with people that agree with you and are like, "You know what? You're right. You don't need to do this. It's fine to talk that way to you, whatever," or "It's fine to have that going on in your life." Do you surround yourself with like-minded people in a destructive way, or do you stand before the Lord? You follow me? So if you remember last week, we talked about the habit loop, which is there's a trigger, like you see the remote, and then there's an action, like you click the remote, and then there's a reward, like you watch TV, and then you realize you binge watch and you don't know what happened to your life, right? So you have the trigger, you have the action, and you have the reward. So it gets practical real fast because there are all these triggers, and I found this list, I just want to read it. For example, the place trigger. So You go to the church parking lot instead of Target, where you're spending too much, right? Or Walmart or whatever you want to put in there. How about time? It's late at night and you're alone, but you put a lock on your internet and you text a friend instead of getting online and doing something you're going to regret later. You follow? How about your mood? You're hangry. I am so one of those people, right? But you take care of it so that you don't, like, ruin a friendship. How about that? How about, again, it's kind of like time, but it's like the time after something. So after you fight with somebody, like your spouse or your boyfriend or your kids, instead of calling the girlfriends to bash your husband or bash your whoever, you instead maybe open up your devotional and you start praying for the person that you're angry at, right? Or how about, I don't know, fill in the blank. So you have a trigger and then you have an action. And the thing is, instead of Zacchaeus, when he got triggered, because the people are saying, oh, you're this and you're that. How many know a lot of people would have been saying that to him as a tax collector? He could have right then gone back to his dysfunctional habits. But instead, he said, instead of this, I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to climb a tree and then I'm going to stand before the Lord and then I'm going to welcome Jesus in. So why don't you stand on your feet? Zacchaeus's meanwhile made it hard for him to do his old habits. What's your meanwhile? Because if you don't have a good meanwhile when it gets hard, when you're changing a habit, you're probably never going to actually change the habit. You got to know your meanwhile. The last part says, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Some of us have been coming to church and been putting on the illusion that we're found, but we've actually never taken the time to say, I once was lost, but I want to get found. And if Zacchaeus didn't know he needed a savior, he never would have climbed the tree. I want to create an opportunity today to climb the tree. It says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Some of us have been discounting little steps because we think they're going to take us nowhere. But just like the 52,000 steps that took Samson in the completely wrong direction, you can also take some little steps with Jesus. And suddenly you realize that you're not who you thought you were a year ago, or even a day ago, or how about 10 years? I know a lot of testimonies are like that in this. Your marriage looks completely different because you took 52,000 steps with Jesus. You climbed that tree instead of going backwards. What does climbing a tree look like in your life today? To see Jesus, to be with Jesus, to live on purpose. I just want to close with this scripture. It's James 1:21. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your heart, which is able to save you. Again, that word save is sozo, which means he is able to deliver you. He is able to rescue you. He is able to heal you. He is able to make you whole. I love the word salvation. So today, I just bless you. I bless you to have the courage to climb a tree. Don't take that out of context. I bless you when life feels like a crowd that is crowding out Jesus in your life. I bless you to have the courage to climb a tree instead of saying, well, this is just how it has to be. And Jesus, right now, we say, come into our home. Come into our heart. Maybe you're praying this for the first time. Maybe you thought you'd prayed it, but you didn't realize that you really actually want him this time. You really want to be saved. You don't want to just go through the motions. You need a savior. You need a friend. Your heart needs a surgeon. And Jesus, we just come to you today. You are the only one that can transform us. Holy Spirit, you are the only one that can be with us and our companion and our partner on earth. And we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.